From Elmhurst Public Library, this is Story Time for Grown-ups. Stories have the power to inspire and change us. Being read to stimulates our brains, expands our imaginations, and is just plain fun. I am Margie Kohlbacher. Welcome to episode 2 of our second season. Today, as always, we're in for a real treat. Our first piece is titled Cure for a Grumpy Man by Duard Mosley. Duard is an author, actor, and owner of a sporty red Tesla, but most importantly for us, he's our Storytime reader. Sit back, listen, and enjoy.
Cure for a Grumpy Man by Duard Mosley. Every January 1st, you plan to improve. You resolve to lose weight, get in shape, eat healthy, save for retirement, or finally clean out those gutters. In almost every instance, these resolutions fail. Goes well for a month, maybe two, but then you're back to overeating chocolate cake, overspending, and the gutters collapse. I have a better idea. In the new year, just stop doing things that make me crazy. You'll have the deep satisfaction of knowing that you've made a grumpy man less grumpy. Just report your progress to my Facebook page. Pictures are optional. Knowing I'm watching will keep you on track. Okay, first, let's improve your driving, specifically skill and courtesy. Don't be a wuss turning left at busy intersections. Don't sit meekly behind the white line. Move out into the intersection. Turn left as the traffic light changes to red. Then I can follow you and make my left turn and not have to wait through another cycle. This will also prevent me from moving to within an inch of your rear bumper, fuming and gesticulating for you to move. Also, you seem to have lost the ability to turn left without violating the lane where I am waiting in the intersecting street to make my left turn. What's that big round thing in your hands? It's called a steering wheel. Turn it. Don't just lazily cut across my lane, barely missing my front fender. Thank you. Tailgating. Why do you drive 70 miles an hour, 3 feet from the rear of my car? Go around me, or back off 30 feet. We're going to get there at the same time. Okay, you'll get there 0.5 seconds faster. Is that worth risking your life and mine? Racing from stoplight to stoplight. The light ahead just turned red. There's no need to keep barreling ahead at 40 miles an hour. Take your foot off the accelerator, or at least slow down. But you blast around me, and I meet you at the light as it's turning green. What do? You floor it and race ahead. See you at the next stoplight. Don't try to kill me when I ride my bike. The law says you must allow at least 3 feet of clearance while passing a cyclist. If the street is too narrow, you're supposed to stay behind the bike until there's room to pass. Ha! In all my years of biking, maybe two cars have done this. And one was the owner of the store where I bought expensive bikes and pricey accessories. Every year at the fitness centers, there's the January effect. You magically appear on New Year's Day wearing bright new workout clothes, run on treadmills, lift not-so-heavy weights. By March, you're gone, eating buttered popcorn while binge-watching Game of Thrones. Okay, fine. Better access to the equipment for me. Maybe you're one of the few who stick it out. Congratulations! Then don't choose a locker next to mine when the entire row is empty. Why? You see an entire bank of empty lockers, yet you choose the one right next to mine, strewing your gym bag detritus in front of my locker. Don't do that. You park your car right next to mine in the parking lot, even though I've chosen a very remote section with no other cars around. When you're not parked next to me, dinging my door, you're blocking access to the parking lot, waiting for a space near the entrance. You're going to the gym to exercise. Walking from the car is exercise. Why do you take an elevator rather than walk up one flight of stairs? Unless you are physically unable, there is no excuse not to walk up one measly flight of stairs. One flight? Come on. You are going to bury the world and me under a mound of rubbish because you can't distinguish a recyclable aluminum can from trash going to the landfill. Please throw recyclables into those blue containers. They're everywhere. Oh, it may take a few extra steps to find one, but again, it's exercise. Don't talk on your cell phone around me, especially about personal topics. I don't care if Sheila is cheating on Bob, and Bob is getting suspicious and confided in Sheila's best friend, Donna. I wonder if Bob and Donna are... Well, no. Just keep it to yourself. While shopping, don't dawdle in front of items I wish to purchase. Make your choice and get the hell out of the way. Okay. Now that you know all the things you do that irritate me, don't really piss me off and keep doing them. Thank you.
Philip K. Dick, the K stands for kindred, was an award-winning author born in Chicago in 1928. The death of his twin sister 6 weeks later profoundly affected his life and his writing, leading to a recurrent motif of a phantom twin in much of his work. A prolific writer throughout his short, stormy life, which included five marriages, he explored philosophical and political themes often set in alternative histories and science fiction. The movies Blade Runner, Total Recall, Minority Report, and the TV series The Man in the High Castle are all based on his work. Our second piece is his short story, The Cookie Lady. Sit back, listen, and enjoy.
The Cookie Lady by Philip K. Dick. Where are you going, Bobber? Ernie Mills shouted from across the street, fixing papers for his route. No place, Bubber Searle said.
You going to see your lady friend?
Ernie laughed and laughed.
What do you go visit old lady for? Let us in on it.
Bubber went on. He turned the corner and went down Elm Street. Already he could see the house at the end of the street, set back a little on the lot. The front of the house was overgrown with weeds, old dry weeds that rustled and chattered in the wind. The house itself was a little gray box, shabby and unpainted, the porch steps sagging. There was an old weather-beaten rocking chair on the porch with a torn piece of cloth hanging over it. Bubber went up the walk. As he started up the rickety steps, he took a deep breath. He could smell it, the wonderful warm smell, and his mouth began to water. His heart thudding with anticipation, Bubber turned the handle of the bell. The bell grated rustily on the other side of the door. There was silence for a time, then the sounds of someone stirring. Mrs. Drew opened the door. She was old, very old, a little dried-up old lady, like the weeds that grew along the front of the house. She smiled down at Bubber, holding the door wide for him to come in.
You're just in time, she said. Come on inside, Bernard. You're just in time. They're just now ready.
Bubber went to the kitchen door and looked in. He could see them resting on a big blue plate on top of the stove. Cookies, a plate of warm, fresh cookies right out of the oven. cookies with nuts and raisins in them.
How do they look?
Mrs. Drew said. She rustled past them into the kitchen.
And maybe some cold milk, too? You like cold milk with them?
She got the milk pitcher from the window box on the back porch. Then she poured a glass of milk for him and set some of the cookies on a small plate.
Let's go into the living room, she said.
Bubber nodded. Mrs. Drew carried the milk and the cookies and set them on the arm of the couch. Then she sat down in her own chair, watching Bubber plop himself down by the plate and begin to help himself. Bubber ate greedily, as usual, intent on the cookies, silent except for chewing sounds. Mrs. Drew waited patiently until the boy had finished and his already ample sides bulged that much more. When Bubber was done with the plate, he glanced toward the kitchen again, at the rest of the cookies on the stove.
"Wouldn't you like to wait until later for the rest?"
Mrs. Drew said. "All right," Bubber agreed.
"How were they?"
"Fine."
"That's good."
She leaned back in her chair.
"Well, what did you do in school today? How did it go?"
"All right." The little old lady watched the boy look restlessly around the room.
"Bernard," she said presently, "won't you stay and talk to me for a while?"
He had some books on his lap, some school books.
"Why don't you read to me from your books? You know, I don't see too well anymore, and it's a comfort to me to be read to."
"Can I have the rest of the cookies after?"
"Of course."
Bubber moved over towards her, to the end of the couch. He opened his books, World Geography, Principles of Arithmetic, Hoyt's Speller. "Which do you want?" She hesitated.
"The geography."
Bubber opened the big blue book at random. Peru.
"Peru is bounded on the north by Ecuador and Colombia, on the south by Chile, and on the east by Brazil and Bolivia. Peru is divided into three main sections. These are, first..."
The old lady watched him read, his fat cheeks wobbling as he read, holding his finger next to the line. She was silent, watching him, studying the boy intently as he read, drinking in each frown of concentration, every motion of his arms and hands. She relaxed, letting herself sink back in the chair. He was very close to her, only a little way off. There was only the table and lamp between them. How nice it was to have him come. He had been coming for over a month now, ever since the day she had been sitting on her porch and seen him go by and thought to call to him, pointing to the cookies by her rocker. Why had she done it? She did not know. She had been alone so long that she found herself saying strange things and doing strange things. She saw so few people, only when she went down to the store, or the mailman came with her pension check, or the garbage man. The boy's voice droned on. She was comfortable, peaceful, and relaxed. The little old lady closed her eyes and folded her hands in her lap. As she sat, dozing and listening, something began to happen. The little old lady was beginning to change, her gray wrinkles and lines dimming away. As she sat in the chair, she was growing younger, the thin, fragile body filling out with youth again. The gray hair thickened and darkened, color coming to the wispy strands. Her arms filled, the mottled flesh turning a rich hue as it had once been, many years before. Mrs. Drew breathed deeply, not opening her eyes. She could feel something happening, but she did not know just what. Something was going on. She could feel it, and it was good. But what it was, she did not exactly know. It had happened before, almost every time the boy came and sat by her, especially of late, since she had moved her chair nearer to the couch.
She took a deep breath. How good it felt. The warm fullness, a breath of warmth inside her cold body. For the first time in years. In her chair, the little old lady had become a dark-haired matron of perhaps 30. A woman with full cheeks and plump arms and legs. Her lips were red again. Her neck even a little too fleshy, as it had once been in the long-forgotten past. Suddenly, the reading stopped. Bubber put down his book and stood up.
I have to go, he said. Can I take the rest of the cookies with me?
She blinked, rousing herself. The boy was in the kitchen, filling his pockets with cookies. She nodded, dazed, still under the spell. The boy took the last cookies. He went across the living room to the door. Mrs. Drew stood up. All at once, the warmth left her. She felt tired. Tired and very dry. She caught her breath, breathing quickly. She looked down at her hands. Wrinkled. Thin.
Oh,
she murmured. Tears blurred her eyes. It was gone. Gone again as soon as he moved away. She tottered to the mirror above the mantel and looked at herself. Old, faded eyes stared back. Eyes deep set in a withered face. Gone. All gone as soon as the boy had left her side.
I'll see you later, Bubber said. Please, she whispered. Please, come back again. Will you come back?
Sure, Bubber said listlessly. He pushed the door open. Goodbye. He went down the steps. In a moment, she heard his shoes against the sidewalk. He was gone.
Bubber, you come in here.
May Searle stood angrily on the porch.
You get in here and sit down at the table.
All right. Bubber came slowly up the porch, pushing inside the house.
What's the matter with you?
She caught his arm.
Where have you been? Are you sick?
I'm tired. Bubba rubbed his forehead. His father came through the living room with the newspapers in his undershirt. What's the matter? He said.
Look at him, May Searle said. All worn out. What have you been doing, Bubba?
He's been visiting that old lady, Ralph Searle said. Can't you tell? He's always washed out after he's been visiting her. What do you go there for, Bub? What goes on?
She gives him cookies, May said. You know how he is about things to eat. He'd do anything for a plate of cookies.
Bub, his father said, listen to me. I don't want you hanging around that crazy old lady anymore. Do you hear me? I don't care how many cookies she gives you. You come home too tired. No more of that. You hear me? Bubber looked down at the floor, leaning against the door. His heart beat heavily, labored.
I told her I'd come back,
he muttered.
You can go once more,
May said, going into the dining room.
But only once more. Tell her you won't be able to come back again, though. You make sure you tell her nice. Now, go upstairs and get washed up.
After dinner. Better have him lie down, Rolf said. Looking up the stairs, watching Bubber climb slowly, his hand on the banister. He shook his head. I don't like it, he murmured. I don't want him going there anymore. There's something strange about that old lady.
Well, it'll be the last time, May said.
Wednesday was warm and sunny. Bubber strode along, his hands in his pockets. He stopped in front of McVeigh's drugstore for a minute, looking speculatively at the comic books. At the soda fountain, a woman was drinking a big chocolate soda. The sight of it made Bubber's mouth water. That settled it. He turned and continued on his way, even increasing his pace a little. A few minutes later, he came up on the gray sagging porch and rang the bell. Below him, the weeds blew and rustled with the wind. It was almost 4 o'clock. He could not stay too long, but then
It was the last time, anyhow. The door opened. Mrs. Drew's wrinkled face broke into smiles.
Come in, Bernard. It's good to see you standing there. It makes me feel so young again to have you come visit.
He went inside, looking around.
I'll start the cookies. I didn't know if you were coming.
She padded into the kitchen.
I'll get them started right away. You sit down on the couch.
Bubba went over and sat down. He noticed that the table and lamp were gone. The chair was right up next to the couch. He was looking at the chair in perplexity when Mrs. Drew came rustling back into the room.
They're in the oven. I had the batter all ready. Now,
she sat down in the chair with a sigh.
Well, how did it go today? How is school?
Fine, she nodded. How plump he was, the little boy, sitting just a little distance from her, her cheeks red and full. She could touch him. He was so close. Her aged heart thumped. Ah, to be young again. Youth was so much. It was everything. What did the world mean to the old, when all the world is old?
Do you want to read to me, Bernard?
She asked presently. I didn't bring any books.
Oh, she nodded. Well, I have some books,
she said quickly.
I'll get them.
She got up, crossing to the bookcase. As she opened the doors, Bubba said, Mrs. Drew, my father says I can't come here anymore. He says this is the last time. I thought I'd tell you. She stopped, standing rigid. Everything seemed to leap around her, the room twisting furiously. She took a harsh, frightened breath.
Bernard, you're not coming back?
No, my father says not to. There was silence. The old lady took a book at random and came slowly back to her chair. After a while, she passed the book to him, her hands trembling. The boy took it without expression, looking at its cover.
Please, read, Bernard, please.
All right, he opened the book. Where will I start?
Anywhere. Anywhere, Bernard.
He began to read. It was something by Trollope. She only half heard the words. She put her hand to her forehead, the dry skin, brittle and thin, like old paper. She trembled with anguish. The last time? Bubba read on, slowly, monotonously. Against the window, a fly buzzed. Outside, the sun began to set, the air turning cool. A few clouds came up, and the wind in the trees rushed furiously. The old lady sat close by the boy, closer than ever, hearing him read, the sound of his voice, sensing him close by. Was this really the last time? Terror rose up in her heart, and she pushed it back. The last time! She gazed at him. The boy sitting so close to her. After a time, she reached out her thin, dry hand. She took a deep breath. He would never be back. There would be no more times, no more. This was the last time he would sit there. She touched his arm. Bubber looked up.
Oh, what is it? He murmured.
You don't mind if I touch your arm, do you?
No, I guess not.
He went on reading. The old lady could feel the youngness of him flowing between her fingers, through her arm, a pulsating, vibrating youngness so close to her. It had never been that close, where she could actually touch it. The feel of life made her dizzy, unsteady. And presently, it began to happen as before. She closed her eyes, letting it move over her, filling her up, carried into her by the sound of the voice and the feel of the arm. The change, the flow was coming over her, the warm, rising feeling. She was blooming again, filling with life.
swelling into richness, as she had been once long ago. She looked down at her arms. Rounded they were, and the nails clear. Her hair, black again, heavy and black against her neck. She touched her cheek. The wrinkles had gone. The skin pliant and soft. Joy filled her, a growing, bursting joy. She stared around her, at the room. She smiled, feeling her firm teeth and gums, red lips, strong white teeth.
Suddenly, she got to her feet, her body secure and confident. She turned a little, lithe, quick circle. Bubber stopped reading.
Are the cookies ready? He said.
I'll see. Her voice was alive, deep with a quality that had dried out many years before. Now it was there again, her voice, throaty and sensual. She walked quickly to the kitchen and opened the oven. She took out the cookies and put them on top of the stove.
All ready, she called gaily. Come and get them.
Bubber came past her, his gaze fastened on the side of the cookies. He did not even notice the woman by the door. Mrs. Drew hurried from the kitchen. She went into the bedroom, closing the door after her. Then she turned, gazing into the full-length mirror on the door. Young. She was young again, filled out with the sap of vigorous youth. She took a deep breath, her steady bosom swelling. Her eyes flashed, and she smiled. She spun, her skirts flying, young and lovely. And this time, it had not gone away. She opened the door. Bubber had filled his mouth and his pockets. He was standing in the center of the living room, his face fat and dull, a dead white.
What's the matter? Mrs. Drew said.
I'm going.
All right, Bernard, and thanks for coming to read to me.
She laid her hand on his shoulder.
Perhaps I'll see you again sometime.
My father.
I know, she laughed gaily, opening the door for him. Goodbye, Bernard. Goodbye.
She watched him go slowly down the steps, one at a time. Then she closed the door and skipped back into the bedroom. She unfastened her dress and stepped out of it, the worn gray fabric suddenly distasteful to her. For a brief second, she gazed at her full, rounded body, her hands on her hips. She laughed with excitement, turning a little, her eyes bright. What a wonderful body, bursting with life, a swelling breast. She touched herself. The flesh was firm. There were so much, so many things to do. She gazed about her, breathing quickly. So many things. She started the water running in the bathtub and then went to tie her hair up. The wind blew around him as he trudged home. It was late. The sun had set and the sky overhead was dark and cloudy. The wind that blew and nudged against him was cold, and it penetrated his clothing, chilling him. The boy felt tired. His head ached, and he stopped every few minutes, rubbing his forehead and resting, his heart laboring. He left Elm Street and went up Pine Street. The wind screeched around him, pushing him from side to side. He shook his head, trying to clear it. How weary he was. How tired his arms and legs were. He felt the wind hammering at him, pushing and plucking at him. He took a breath and went on, his head down. At the corner he stopped, holding onto a lamppost. The sky was quite dark. The streetlights were beginning to come on. At last, he went on, walking as best he could.
Where is that boy?
May Searle said, going out onto the porch for the 10th time. Rolf flicked on the light and they stood together.
What an awful wind!
The wind whistled and lashed at the porch. The two of them looked up and down the dark street, but they could see nothing but a few newspapers and trash being blown along.
Let's go inside, Rolf said. He sure is going to get a licking when he gets home. They sat down at the dinner table. Presently, May put down her fork.
Listen, do you hear something?
Rolf listened. Outside, against the front door, there was a faint sound, a tapping sound. He stood up. The wind howled outside, blowing the shades in the room upstairs. I'll go see what it is, he said. He went to the door and opened it. Something gray and dry was blowing up against the porch, carried by the wind. He stared at it, but he could not make it out. A bundle of weeds? Weeds and rags blown by the wind, perhaps. The bundle bounced against his legs. He watched it drift past him, against the wall of the house. Then he closed the door again, slowly.
What was it?
May called. Just the wind, Ralph Soar said.
Thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us for our next episode of Mind Expanding Tales.
Storytime for Grown-Ups is recorded at Elmhurst Public Library's Creative Studio Lab. Directed and edited by Jeremy Slayton. Produced and hosted by Margie Kohlbacher. Stories narrated by Duard Mosley. Works read in this podcast may be protected under copyright law. These podcasts are reserved for the education of library patrons only. Elmhurst Public Library receives no commercial gain from these recordings. No unauthorized further dissemination of these works is permitted.